Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 126, a song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. The words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Anna. Dang it, it's not snowing. I was gonna be able to look out the side here, and you're out, you'll let me know. Okay, give me the heads up. Give me the heads up. Have you ever had a laugh so hard you couldn't stop, right? I mean, you just got to laughing. Maybe it was a moment with family or friends. It was a story that you told at just the right time, or somebody else told it just the right time. The kind of laughter where like your side begins to ache, or like the tears are just running down your eyes and you can't stop. You're just laughing so hard you're crying. I've got two younger brothers, and I'll never forget, you know, growing up, we were on the couch one day in the evening and we were playing video games together, and I had gotten a new Nintendo not too long ago, right? When the Nintendo was a thing. And we were playing this motorcycle game, and my brothers were all spread out about 4 years and 4 years. And so I was probably around 12. My youngest brother was about 4. And my 4-year-old youngest brother was sitting in between us while we're playing this video game. And as we're playing, we're playing this motorcycle game where you kind of punch each other and knock each other off the bikes. And I'm just like, yeah, take that, you know, and I'm saying all these things. And my younger brother, he's just cracking up as I'm joking and playing this video game. And at one point, my younger brother says, "If you don't stop, I'm going to pee my pants." Well, you know, that's like an invitation to keep going for me. So I kept going and I kept joking. And it wasn't long when he was true to his word. And all of a sudden, we can hear it, right? And we look over and he's just laughing and peeing his pants. Just everywhere. So, you know, laughter sometimes is a gift. Sometimes it's a gift. It's a sign of joy. It can be for release, which to him it was, right? All kinds of release. It can be something deep within us that sets us free, right? When we feel stuck in a certain mood or moment, laughter helps us break out of that. Psalm 126 speaks of that kind of joy that we might experience, a laughter born out of restoration. Restoration is our kind of word for the morning. Psalm 126, it's one of the songs of ascent, or the psalms of ascent. There were 14 of them in the psalm, Psalm 120 through 134. And these psalms were sung by pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's kind of uphill, right? And so from wherever you're coming, you're kind of steadily going uphill until you get to Jerusalem. Oftentimes they were going for temple worship, particular times of the year. Every Jewish person tends to take some type of pilgrimage to the city, to Jerusalem. And so these songs, these 14 songs, they reflect on a time when God brought restoration to his people, possibly referring to their time of exile from Babylon. Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, took them all off many, many years in Babylon, till eventually Babylon was destroyed by someone else coming along, which was always the case in those days. And then the Jewish people were released. They were allowed to go back to Jerusalem. And so these were likely songs that were maybe even created on their way back home from Babylon to Jerusalem that they had not seen in years and years and years. Imagine if it were you. And imagine if you had actually never seen this place that you were told was home. But you were raised with your mom and dad always talking about home and Jerusalem and what it was like. And so imagine your expectation of returning back to home, to Jerusalem. And so the psalm, this psalm begins with overwhelming joy, right? It says this, it says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. But it also acknowledges the restoration is this ongoing process in our lives. It kind of keeps going. It's not just a one-time event where it just happened and everything's hunky-dory after that, right? And so this other scripture passage says, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. And so the psalmist recognizes that sorrow and struggle is always a part of the journey. It's always a part of the journey, but they are not the final words. It's not the last thing that's going to happen to you. So from Psalm 126, let's consider three lessons about joy and restoration in our lives as people, as Christian people. First of all, let's consider first that God's restoration is beyond our expectations. It's going to be beyond our expectations. We were like those who dream. The restoration of Zion was so incredible, it felt unreal to them. Have you ever had a moment where God just showed up in a way that you never expected? Like, your bar was here, and God came in here, right? When we are in seasons of loss and struggle, when we're down in the pit, when we're down in the valley, we sometimes limit what we believe God can do. We just want to get out of the pit, right? We just want to get out of the valley. And yet God's restoration is so much bigger than our brokenness and moments of brokenness, beyond what we could ever imagine. Paul echoes this in Ephesians 3:20. He also says God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Immeasurably more. And so joy begins when we allow ourselves to do this really hard thing, and that really hard thing is to dream again. In your life, when joy surprised you after a hard season, it had been very hard, but joy snuck in, and maybe it was after an illness that you had, or a broken relationship that was hard to sever. Maybe it was a financial hardship that was really scary when you were in it and going through it. Something happened that reminded you in that hard place that God was still writing your story. He wasn't done yet. And so joy often sneaks up on us when we least expect it. Surprise, surprise. Good news. So that's the first thing. The second thing that perhaps we can learn from this scripture passage is that joy and sorrow often walk hand in hand. They walk together hand in hand. You know, the second half of the psalm shifts from celebration to a plea to God. And the plea is this, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. And the Negev was a dry desert. It was very dry. But when the rains came, it transformed it into a running stream, right? Kind of like our yards this week. I don't know if you're, my neighbor sent me pictures of the river running through the back of our yards. But guess what? It's not just here in Lebanon. It's also in the Negev, right? Where something very, very similar happens. And so the psalm acknowledges that restoration, it's just not always immediate. It's not always on our time. Like, I want it to be on my time, and you want it to be on your time, and our time's right now, right? Now is the time. And yet, sometimes it's not always immediate. And that's why the passage, it goes on to say, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Sow with tears, reaping songs of joy. You know, sorrow is a part of life. It's not the end story. It's not the end of your story. You know, just as a farmer sows seeds in faith of what will come, right? The crop that will come, trusting a harvest will come. We trust that our tears are not wasted. They will not be wasted. Jesus himself said in John 16:20, he said, "You will weep and mourn, but your grief will turn to joy." It'll turn to joy. You know, perhaps you've experienced that, a time in life where you felt barren, absolutely barren, where you couldn't see how anything good could come from your pain and the pain that you were experiencing. But then, little by little, restoration came, right? Maybe it was a phone call from a friend. Somebody called you at just the right time. It's like, oh my gosh, God, thank you for your timing with that phone call and that friend. Or maybe it was a moment of unexpected kindness. You just didn't see it coming. And somebody in the store or a friend, they were kind to you. And it was like, oh yeah, you know, this is, gosh, that just felt better. Maybe it's a breakthrough you never saw coming. Like you kind of had some ways you might get through this, but then this thing happened and it wasn't in your playbook. That's the promise of God. He will turn your mourning into dancing in time. So that's the second way. The third thing that I hope we can pull from this scripture passage, a way that we might grow, is that laughter is a sign of God's grace at work. So don't forget that. Laughter is a sign of God's grace at work. The passage said, "Then our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with shouts of joy." There in verse 2. You know, biblical laughter, it's not just amusement. You know, like we turn on the TV and we laugh at something. Ha, 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 ha. Right? It's a deep, soul-level response to God's goodness that makes people scripturally laugh. Think of Sarah. Right? Sarah in Genesis chapter 18. When God promised her a child in old age, which, you know, we all might kind of, yeah, right, please no. But in Sarah's case, having not had a child, it reminded her of too many sleepless nights, too many prayers that she felt unanswered. And yet God said to her, no, it's time now. Even in old age, you will have a child. And so later in Genesis chapter 21, Isaac is born to Sarah, and she said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. They will laugh with me. And so joy is this natural response to grace overflowing within Scripture. And we see it over and over, Old Testament, New Testament, this laughter response, this joy response. When we recognize how extravagantly loved we are, laughter follows. Laughter follows. I once heard a story about a grandmother and her young grandson. They had had a really tough year in the family. A very hard year. They had some illness, financial struggles, even some loss within the family that really affected the both of them. And one day she took her grandson, she took him out for a small treat, right? She took him out for some ice cream, found a little ice cream shop. They went in and had ice cream together. And as this little boy, he took his first bite, his eyes got really wide, and he said, "Grandma, this is the best day ever. This ice cream's amazing, right? It's the best day ever." And she just laughed. She laughed, not because it was the best day ever, but because in that moment, joy broke through the sorrow of what had been hard for a long time. A little joy shined through, kind of like in the clouds, you know, and a cloud kind of breaks and a ray of sunlight comes through, right? We have these moments, these different moments, and it's God is just... God's grace has a way of surprising us, even in the ordinary of ice cream, which to me, I mean, ice cream is always a blessing. Can I get an amen? Yeah, my wife tells me I bless myself too much with ice cream sometimes. But the ray of sunlight, right? The ray of sunlight peeking through the clouds costs no calories. And that's just an ordinary blessing from God, a way that he shines his joy through to us. Now, have you ever noticed how laughter is best when shared with friends, when it's shared in community, right? Like, it's one thing to be laughing by yourself on the couch. It's another to be with a group of people and to be sharing that communal experience of just gut-wrenching laughter, right? Restoration is not just personal. It happens in community. It happens with groups of people. The Israelites, they didn't celebrate alone. Their joy was shared. It was shared, and even the nations said, "The Lord God has done great things for them." Talking about the Israelites. The Lord God has done great things for them. And so our faith is meant to be lived together, experienced together. That's why we gather here for worship. That's why we're all here this morning. The joy of the Lord upon all of us in community together. That's why we share testimonies and stories at different times. And we've tried to do that kind of once a month, give people just an opportunity, share a little bit of testimony about a value that we're talking about. It's just simply being with one another at times where we experience. I know in the office all the time, we've got our different folks that help in the office. And sometimes the laughter that occurs there as people kind of come in and out, right? And so when we laugh together, we remind each other of God's faithfulness and goodness. And it's happening. It's happening. So how do we live in the joy of restoration as people who are expecting it, right? Here it comes. Well, first, we pray for the restoration to happen. We pray for it. You need to pray for it. Just like the psalmist prayed for God to restore them to the people that they once were, we can pray for God to restore our hearts, our relationships, our spirits, our hope. If we've experienced hopelessness, God, would you restore my hope? And then second, that we would sow this thing with faith. Sow it with faith. Even if we're sowing in tears, we must believe that God's going to bring a harvest of joy into our lives. And so we sow that with faith. And then last, we celebrate God's faithfulness together. We keep doing this thing. We keep making space for laughter. We notice the ways that God is moving in our lives and in our families. We choose joy, even in the waiting, even in the hardships sometimes, that we would see those opportunities to enjoy our faith, to laugh, to do this thing together. So, where do you need God's restoration in your life? Where do you need this right now? Are you in a season of dreaming? Are you in a season of sowing in tears? Are you in a season of reaping with joy? I don't know your season. I know some of your seasons. I know some of your seasons. But no matter where you are, God's steadfast love remains, always present with us, filling our hearts with laughter and filling our lives with hope. That is the work that he is doing. So, we are getting ready to come to the communion table to bow and to receive the blessing of communion. And so, what I would ask you this morning is, where do you need restoration in your life? I want you to bring that to the table with you this morning. I want you to bring it as you bow down, as you receive the cup, as you receive the bread, as you place those things in your mouth. I want that prayer of restoration to be with you in that moment. No matter where you are, right? God is here with you, answering these prayers. A movement of God in your life from suffering to joy. That is what we bring this morning as he provides this meal, this spiritual meal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for restoration. And Lord, that's a biblical story. It's like the full story. It is the full story of restoration for your people, for the Israelites, but in the end, for all earth, for all creation, that all things would be restored because of your grace, your goodness, your love, and your plan for restoration. So, Lord, we say, let that plan begin in us today. Let it begin in us today. And, Lord, we bring to you the desires of our hearts this morning. We thank you for this gift of communion we are about to receive. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.